So I'm kind of proud of the fact that I'm the youngest of six children, and just really grateful for the family life that I had growing up. I know we probably shouldn't use the word pride. We shouldn't be proud of something like that. But I think that where that stems from is just the great love that I have, admiration for my mother and father, what great parents they were. They are both, have gone to our Lord, lost them relatively early, although I wasn't a kid anymore. I was 21 when my dad died and 33 when my mom passed away. And what added to that, I think, was an appreciation for my siblings. So as much as I had already loved my brothers and sisters, they, when necessary, kind of stepped in as the father figure or the motherly figure, because that was a late vocation. So my dad died when I was 21. I didn't enter seminary until I was 31. So after 9 years of working in the business world. In any case, it's great appreciation for my whole family. And kind of like just, kind of, it's kind of cliche, you know, a big Catholic family. You know, it's kind of something good about that. And yet at the same time, if you don't come from a big Catholic family, you can still do a great job pursuing holiness. So absolutely, we have two great examples of that in Scripture today. So Isaac, who is referred to three times in chapter 22 of Genesis as an only begotten son. Kind of lose track of that, but so only begotten son of Abraham and Sarah, to be specific. And so if that family isn't enough for you, well, got the Holy Family. Jesus is an only child, and that family did pretty well. So there are similarities. You might have wondered, I kind of wondered when I first read the first reading, as I do as I prepare for every Sunday, I thought, well, what does this have to do with the Transfiguration? It seems like two totally different stories. So we got the story of Abraham and Isaac, where God the Father asks Abraham to sacrifice his son. And no matter how we slice it, it sounds horrible. He expects Abraham to not just sacrifice, but actually kill his son. And perhaps even more surprising, Abraham's going to do it. See, and I think what we want to pull out of that is Abraham's great faith, the father of faith. So God the Father is asking for this, so I need to do it. Also, Abraham would have had a great faith in the resurrection. So I'm going to see Isaac soon enough, and we'll be together forever. So that might have been Abraham's approach. And the other reason I think God can ask that, you know, he's given a little foreshadowing. It's like, well, how could he ask someone to kill his only son? Well, God the Father is going to sacrifice his only son for you. So he wants the people of God to begin to see this. It's like, this is what worship is about. Not literally sacrificing a child, but worship is always going to include sacrifice. We know that as Catholics. Every time we gather for Mass, it's the holy sacrifice of the Mass. You can't really worship without sacrifice. That's why we have the season of Lent. Well, it's not the only reason, but it's a good benefit of the season of Lent. Hopefully some of you, hopefully all of you, are giving something up for Lent. Why do we sacrifice? You can't worship without sacrifice. Those of you who are married, you know you can't love without sacrifice. We can't love God the Father without sacrifice. So that's just a little introduction to Isaac's connection to Jesus. If we look at the details of the story. Isaac is given a load of wood to carry on his back for the sacrifice. Jesus, of course, will carry the wood of the cross for his sacrifice. They both go up a mountain. The only difference is God the Father shows his mercy at the end of Isaac's story, and he's spared. The story of Abraham and Isaac is meant to be a foreshadowing of what's going to happen on Calvary. But that might still leave us wondering, why the Transfiguration today? That's not a foreshadowing of Calvary. In fact, it's a foreshadowing of heaven. Jesus is glorified so that they can get a little taste of heaven. Every year we hear this, and I wish I was a better bishop. I know it's in all four Gospels. It's in at least three Gospels, the story of the Transfiguration. But we hear about Jesus' garments being white, his glory, and somehow that's supposed to remind us or give us a taste of heaven. What I like to think of is being, again, a lover of family, being the youngest of six. I really love babies. So this is maybe one of the reasons why it took me till I was 31 till I entered seminary, because I thought I want to be a dad. Four of my brothers and sisters got married when I was high school, and so when I was in college, I had 6 nieces and nephews born. Every time coming home from college meant getting to hold the baby, be with the baby. And perhaps Epiphany is better at this, but in my church, when there's a baby there, they can be perfectly quiet and behaved, but I know they're there because everybody is looking at them. The people behind them, the people in front are turning around smiling. I might be preaching the greatest homily ever, and they're looking at the baby. And that's okay, because I'm trying to preach God's word, but the baby is actually an image of God, because we're all made in the image of God. The difference is babies still have that beauty and that innocence. That's why they're so beautiful. They're made in God's image, and they haven't sinned yet. Nobody stares at me during Mass. Nobody stares at you during Mass. We don't have that beauty anymore. So think of the Transfiguration when you think of the beauty that they see in the Lord. It's beyond even the most beautiful baby that you've gazed upon. Back to Abraham a little bit. So sacrifice is required for worship, so that takes great humility. So Abraham shows that. Isaac shows it in participating in it. So that gift of self, humble himself. Abraham's going to humble himself and do God's will. Isaac's going to humble himself and do his father's will. So we see that trace of humility in the first reading. And now in the gospel, however, it's not so much that Peter is humble. You might say that he's humiliated. So he has that great line at first, which we sung this evening. So it is good, Lord, that we are here. If only he would have stopped there. So then he says, we should build 3 tents, and we should just hang out up here. It doesn't sound like that bad of an idea, but Mark gives us the clue, the evangelist, very next line. He says, Peter didn't even know what he was saying. Silly Peter. And why is that not the right thing to say? Because immediately before the Transfiguration, Jesus predicted his passion. I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem, be arrested, suffer, crucified, and killed. And he takes them up the mountain to give them that glimpse so that they can get over Calvary. Okay, this is what's coming. A great suffering, a great passion. But the reward is this little taste of heaven that you're going to get. So Peter seems to have forgotten that part. He wants to skip the suffering. But it's like the old spiritual adage, you can't stay on the mountain. After Mass, I am blessed to be with some of you for a dinner, for those of you who are adorers at your beautiful Adoration Chapel, which, by the way, there's another little taste of heaven. I don't know how many of you have ever been in Adoration and think, oh, I wish I could just stay here all afternoon. And most of us can't stay there for a whole afternoon, and we're not supposed to. Similar to Holy Mass, right? It's good that you are here. Father Duffner doesn't want you to stay here. Every Mass ends, and this Mass is going to end with the deacon saying something like, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life, or go and announce the gospel of the Lord, or just go in peace. The one common word in all that, go. not in a rude way, but the reason we're here is so that we can take Christ out to the world. So the apostles can't stay on the mountain. So that's where, getting back to that humility piece, it's kind of humiliating for Peter. I don't know if any one of us couldn't have made the same mistake and want to stay there on the mountaintop. But they have to come back down. They have to come back down to do God's will, to do God's work, to head to Jerusalem. All that is part of worship. It's the sacrifice. And so we unite ourselves to the Lord today. We unite ourselves with the example of Isaac. So they're both only begotten sons. It's maybe just one other little point. There's that great point in the Transfiguration where towards the end, the disciples fall to the ground and they look up, and what do they see? Only Jesus. Our focus in Lent should be on only Jesus. It should be on worshiping only Jesus. And remembering that worship includes sacrifice. And so imitating Isaac, imitating Jesus, offering our sacrifices this Lent, and uniting them to the one holy sacrifice of the Mass.